Well, I'd appreciate your prayers. Well, I'd like to think about our experience in the Lord a little bit today and maybe think a little bit about the power of our witness. We influence people more than we think we do. People we come into contact with and people we run into. They say, I can't verify this, but they say that we say, I think they say it's 85% of the communications we give to one another is through body language, that we only actually communicate with 15%. And you have to take in all of the characteristics, like I just made hand gestures that did this. That means all. You may say something I don't agree with, and I'll kind of roll my eyes back there. That's all body language, and we actually communicate friendship. I'm comfortable with you. We don't necessarily be able to say that, but we communicate that in the fact that we're friendly with one, and we communicate with one another. And so I think there's a power to that, but see, that is something that you can't make up. You don't make that up. That's got to be something that flows from you. I think in my mind, Jesus had a command of language. He spake as no other man spake. But I think he also had a purity of body language. I think that in my mind, I think people could understand Jesus' ideas of what he liked. And so I'm a little thinking about our witness today for the Lord. I have a little granddaughter. Her name's Lily. I share this granddaughter with Brother Weedoo, with Brother Clifford and Sister Vonda. They're also the other side of that. And her name's Lily, and she's a little girl. And they was at our house a few weeks ago, and her daddy, my son, says to me, Lily likes books. Oh, he said, Pappy, Lily likes books. And when he said that, her eyes got big, and she was like, and she doesn't speak to me a lot, or say a lot, or her say a lot, but her eyes got big, and she said, I like books. And I said, you like books? Now, she doesn't talk a lot to me. I can say things to her, and she won't talk to me, but I said, Lily, you like books? Yes, I like books. And so I said to her, well, I've got a shelf by the chair I sat in, and there's a shelf there, and there's a number of books her age or that. And I said, well, Lily, you want to read a book? Yeah. And she got right up on my lap, and I pulled a book out, and she was all interested. I read the book to her, and I'm done. I mean, that'd be enough for me. I read her a book, and it was fun, and now I'm done. And she points to there was a number of books, and she points to the other and said, read that one. Well, okay, I'll read that one, and then read that one, and read that one, and read that one. I got a question for you. Do you think Lily likes books? No, I'll say it differently. Is there any doubt in your mind that Lily likes books? No. That was convincing. Now, she said, I like books, right? She said, I like books. But now, Jesus ran into this before where he said, you say, Lord, Lord. Okay, I mean, you can say anything, right? I mean, people didn't say things. Actually, it's one thing reason why I don't incite people to anything from the pulpit. I don't incite people by saying, you know, if you love Jesus, stand up and
I've seen people do that that I know very well don't keep his commandments. That's cheap to some degree. Now, words are powerful, and we say what we mean and those kind of things, but there's something that's got to go along with it, right? I mean, there's something that's got to go along with it. I would say that Lily, at this time in her life, has a passion. She's small and undeveloped and something like that. And I'm sure there's other things that she can like. I could pull out different toys. I could probably pull out some balls and some things like that. But I'm going to see a look on her face when I pull out a book. You know, there's some things that's impressive with our witness. There's some things that's actually impressive. And do you know passion is one of them?
Yes, it is.
It is. Passion has always impressed me. When somebody is it doesn't even really have to be that important of a thing. But it always shows me something when somebody's passionate about something. And there's something that goes along with passion that's just not words. There's actions that goes along with passion. I mean, you can see, I want that. I want to do that. I'm going to make the opportunity, anytime I can, I'm going to make the opportunity for that. You don't have to say twice. And one of the brothers in our congregations would always say, you ask him, you say, hey, you want some ice cream? He'd say, twist my arm. Well, what he was really meaning is, you don't have to twist my arm. I mean, I'll volunteer it. Yeah, I want some ice cream. And you can see that and feel that. Can I say something here? I mean, when we lack a passion for something, it shows.
That's true.
You can't make it up. And I'm not here to try to pump up passion and say passion comes from something. There's a root reason for passion. Lily likes books. And I'll tell you, she's got a passion for it at your early age. I know people, guys, that will get up 2 hours before daylight. And they'll go out in any kind of weather that you can imagine. Rain and snow. Cold, crispy, crunchy. It doesn't matter. They can get up 2 hours before daylight and go get in a tree stand. Climb up in a tree stand. And they can sit there with a hope of something they saw on a picture, on a camera, a trail camera a few weeks before. And they can sit there with all their daydreams and all of their ideas. And I've done it, so I've got a little experience. I know what I'm talking about, because you run this thing through your mind. You imagine him coming from this way, or you imagine him coming from that way. And you do it. And you know, I've had passion like that, but mine was somewhat limited to some of the people I know. And mine has diminished a lot. I know guys that can get up 2 hours before daylight and set in a stand in all kind of inclement weather and stay there literally every light moment of the day. Stay there all the way till dark. As it doesn't matter how much how comfortable it becomes. In other words, I'll say this. All those old hard church benches. that old street stand ain't too hard. Oh, being cramped up and can't move. Have to drive and cramp. Not in that tree stand. You know what makes a difference? Passion. Passion. They love it. This is what they want to do. I'm not saying that's noble. But I am impressed. I'm impressed for somebody that put out for what they desire, what they want. You know what I'm saying? What there is there to do it. I mean,
the Apostle Paul, and for us, those that read the Bible and study the Bible, is there any doubt in your mind that the converted Paul had a passion for God? Did Paul have a passion for God? Did he have a passion for souls? How about this? I'm not only willing to be bound, I'm willing to die. Okay, that's just words. Not for Paul, it wasn't just words. Do you know he enacted on that? And he went on up to Jerusalem anyway. He'd already been prophesied to. This is going to befall you. And he says, my passion is too strong for I'll go do it anyway. This is so important to me. This is what I need to be doing. I'll say something else to you. When you can get passionate about something, you can drive the boredom of it away. When you get passionate for something, you can take away the unpleasantries of it. When you get passionate for something, it changes the dynamics of it. I don't have to do it. I want to do it. It's time to do it. I can't wait to do it. I'll go early to do it. Because it's my passion. It's my desire. It's what I want to do. I worked as a surveyor. And I worked underground in the coal mines. And there was something that was always, I like to use for an example. We was contractors, so I went to a lot of different mines. And all the different mines was the same. The coal miners that worked under there, they always, and with very few exceptions, I can remember a few guys, but very few exceptions, did the coal miners not go to the mines way early? 30, 45 minutes early. And they went in, and they sat down in their changing room. Many of them would open up their lunch box. Some of them opened their coffee thermos. And they'd sit there and talk with there was a camaraderie with these guys. There was something that they enjoyed enough to want to go early. And I looked at that and said, that's an amazing thing. That these guys, I can see that's their best moment. That's one of their best moments. As men, they come there and told about what happened through the day and their hunting stories or their fishing stories. They told stuff about work. They done that. And it was always impressive to me. Not that it's that greatly noble that men to get together, but because it was passionate. Because they did something that they didn't have to do, and they had a desire, a real desire for that. And it's impressive that they do it. And I want to challenge us, because we got something that is noble and it is right, and it needs to be spread. But we can say we love the Lord and that the Lord is mighty. God is great. And there's nothing like having the Spirit of the Lord come down among us. Well, it's 15 minutes late. Well, that really proves it. If you be honest. I mean, I'm just trying to say, be honest about it. If you say about Lily, she loves books. Nobody said she didn't, because she proves she did, right? And then you say, boss, service, come to service with us. It is outstanding. You need the Lord. Lord will bless your life. This is the way to live. Oh, okay. Really? I mean, Lord help us. The Apostle Paul was passionate. He wrote in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 9. 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Here's the Apostle Paul in the 22nd verse of the 9th chapter, 1 Corinthians. To the weak become I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. You can say words like that, but passion will make you do them. And this I do for the gospel's sake. that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know you not that they which run a race run all? But one receiveth the prize, so run, that you may obtain. Okay? I see Paul starting to stir some passion. You're going to have some passion for this. This takes passion. I mean it. I mean what I'm doing. Do you know what he's talking about here about running all? He says, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the training exercise of athletes. I don't think it's that noble. I don't think there's any eternal thing about athletes and what they do. But Paul recognized something that was influential. He looked at something that impressed him in his life. He looked and seen the passion of these athletes. And somebody that was willing to exercise, to say no to the food that wasn't good, say no to the things that would take their strength away from them, to say yes to the exercise, to put weights on them and exercise with weights, and to get up early and run, and then run in the middle of the day, then run at night, and then to exercise. And he said they were temperate in all things. They took what they wanted to do and accomplish with passion. They wanted to win that race. They wanted to be the champion, and they was going to put out all the effort and everything to do it. And if I was to look on and see them, I would say to them, I would say about them, they're passionate. They mean it. They might be wrong, but they mean what they're doing. You really think it's, what impresses you? Really, what would impress you the most in these things? Brother Jim White, I remember a night, a Wednesday night, we went to prayer meeting. A bunch of us gathered up for prayer meeting, and Brother Jim White wasn't there. And it concerned all of us. All of us got concerned. Where's Brother Jim? Oh, no. Did something happen with Brother Jim? You know why? Always. Always. You went to Wednesday night prayer meeting. Brother Jim was at Wednesday night prayer meeting. We knew he was going to be at Wednesday night prayer meeting. When Brother Jim said, I love serving the Lord, I love going to service, I give myself to the Lord, it was not hollow words. He was passionate about it. He went faithfully. Well, it turned out, as old people will do sometimes, we tried to check on him and different stuff and phone calls, but then towards the end of the service, Brother Jim comes in kind of sheepish and comes and sits down and says, I'm sorry, I forgot it was Wednesday night. Now, if he had remembered it was Wednesday night, he would have been there. But I remember being so impressed and sad. I wonder if I can have the same kind of credibility, the same kind of a testimony that somebody would say, that's an odd thing. If you was put on trial for Christianity, is there enough proof? Is there enough witnesses around you to condemn you? Yes, he's a Christian. I'm going to tell you, that guy's a Christian. Would the ones around us say it if we didn't speak it? There was a man, I heard a testimony, whether it's true or not, I don't know, or if it was just supposed to be something we thought about. But a guy said that he went, was invited to go on a golfing round with, what was his name, the evangelist? I'm sorry for my poor mind. Billy Graham. He was invited to go on a golfing thing with Billy Graham.
And he went on the golfing thing with Billy Graham. And Billy Graham was known to be an exceptionally gracious person in his behaviors and all. And so when the guy got through, when he got through with the golfing, they asked him, said, "Well, how did your day go?" And the guy said, "I will never go golfing with that guy again." And they said, "Well, really? What did he say?" "No, he said he preached to me all day." And they said, "Well, really, what did he say?" "Well, he didn't say anything. He didn't say anything." "That's impressive. He was gracious. His body language was gracious. He had a spirit about it. He was gracious." And the guy kept preaching at me. He'd knock a ball in the lake and he didn't even get mad. He didn't even act up. Lord, help us. What we say is very important. What we do is really important. So there's a passage of scripture in Joshua, in the first chapter. "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all his people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." Now listen, that's God's part. Now here's your part. "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said to Moses." Now, how much land you want? How much of God do you want? How much of God's Spirit do you want? How kind do you want to be? How patient do you want to be? How much of a desire do you have that our services are alive? I mean, really? That they're alive? I'm just going to say this right out. Everybody can't talk, and you definitely can't talk at once. And we need the Lord to lead us and guide us. Okay? I had somebody say recently, and made a comment, they thought they talked too much and was having some problem. And they said, well, that they was going to study to show themselves quiet, to be quiet. They're going to study to be quiet. The Bible says that. Well, I'm going to study to be quiet. Well, my response was, now listen, it's going to be a poor service if somebody don't say something. And we don't want you not to say something. I'm going to say it to everybody. We don't want you not to talk. We just want you to say something when you're talking. That's what we're asking. Let it be of the Lord in what you're saying. Let it be seasoned with salt. I don't want to sit and listen to a bunch of stuff that don't make sense. I want what the Lord wants to have us. So everybody's free. Please, please be free to express what the Lord has done for you and be responsible for what you're saying. Be responsible to the service. I'm passionate about it. I want to see it the best it can be. I want to see our services alive. I don't think that it's a good testimony. If the Lord says it, it will be. But I don't think it's a good testimony for one person to pray all the time. It don't say like everybody's alive. It says like one person might be. And everybody to pray. No, you got the privilege, the honor. I want the Lord. I can express my burden too. I can be a part too. And we all get something from it. You know, there are some folks that didn't pray very much in our service. And occasionally they'd really feel the burden to pray. And when they'd pray, I was so blessed. I was so blessed. The Spirit of the Lord was on them and they prayed. And it was so, oh, that was so rich. It's so good. But I care. I care. I'm passionate. I want, if we're going to do it, let's do it with our heart. Let's do it all. Let's do it all. So he says, how much land do you want? Now, if somebody that had the capability would come to me and, you know what, and I'll just have to say,
I'd probably make a pretty good swath here. If somebody come and said, I'll give you everything your foot could touch, I guess I'd walk around Oklahoma too. But if I was in West Virginia and somebody said, I got the right to do it, and you, everything that your, every place your sole of your foot touches this day, I'll give it to you. I would be one active fella. I would, as my dad would say, I'd make more tracks than a skunk could make. I would be making tracks all over the place, and I'd touch all I can touch to get all that I can get. This is what he said here. Here's a parameter of what I'm going to give you, but I'll give you everything that your foot, the sole of your foot touches. You know, that's an enormous promise. That's an enormous promise of possessing stuff. You know, say, I can have this, but do you think... Don't you think there's a given there of passion? Don't you think there's a given there that I've got to want this land? The more passionate I am about this, the more I get. There's an idea of passion. There's an idea of action and passion there. Oh, this old land over there. Just as soon as the Canaanites have it. It don't matter. I'll go tread around a little bit. But I'm pretty tired today. Passion will show. Now, I tell this story, but it was real to me. I come home from work one time. My first wife, Tammy, some of you knew her. We was living a few miles away from her. We was living, actually, on where I grew up on that property. And it was about 9 miles to her mom's house. Anyway, I went to work and worked all day and come home. I was tired. I come home, and the wife says, I'd like to go over to Mom's this evening. Somebody's getting together, I'd like to go over to Mom's. Ain't happening. I worked all day. That's why I said, I worked all day. I'm tired. I want to go to Mama's. I want to go to your mom's. Well, my wife had a different perspective. My wife had the perspective, I've been home all day. And I want to go to Mom's. I worked all day. Somehow in my mind, that was it right there. That ought to be really the thing. Well, at the time, I had this little dog. And I was training to tree. When you train a dog to tree, it's very important that if he barks at something up the tree, you go to him. Because that's what he's saying. The dog's barking, and you go to him. So he knows what you're wanting's up the tree. He barks until you get there. So about the time I made the best case I could for not go to Mama's, if you can believe it, that dog started barking up on the mountain up there. Well, I worked all day. And I'm tired. I was way too tired to go to Mama's, but I wasn't near too tired to go up to that dog. Because I was passionate about that. I would have nearly crawled up there. I was passionate about that. That was very important to me. It was something I was going to accomplish. So I went up to the dog and then went to the in-laws' house. Because it was the right thing to do, and that's what it was. I went up the hill with passion and went around there grudgingly. There's a difference, and you can see that difference in our lives. And if you go to service grudgingly, you can tell it. If you go with, I'm glad that I'm here, I want to go, yeah, I want to do it, you can tell it. And don't think the world don't read it too. The world does read how important it is to us. And when I say, we said this, Melinda vows for this, we used to say it, sometimes the children, being children, would say, do we have to go to church tonight? There was a good answer. No, we get to. We get to go. Because we want to go. Now, I said this in Holly Hill, and I understand all the nuances and the things about these kind of things and exception and all that can roll on it, but I told my wife, this is the sincerity of my heart. It comes to the idea about divine healing and where you stand on that. I want to do it. You don't have to fight me about that. I don't know what's going to befall my life or what might happen in my life. But I want to trust the Lord for that. I want to. It's my heart. to. I can't give the Lord hardly anything, but I can give him that. I want to do it. I ain't condemning anybody that sees the things in us. I don't know about all that, but I know what I want. I've seen people that trusted the Lord right. Yeah, I've seen the blessings of it, and I've always said, Lord, if you can let me do anything, that's what I'd like to do. I just want to. It's my heart to. I want to. It seems beautiful to me. It seems like the best thing to do. It seems like it makes the relationship. It's something that I want to do. There's ground that you can get. If you're passionate enough to step on it. If you're passionate enough to do it. But passion's going to mean something. You know what passion means? Passion means that, well, the normal fellow without the passion is getting his land. When he comes to a rough place, he stops. Because he's not passionate. I've got enough. But a guy with passion comes to the boulders and the rocks and he climbs over them. He comes to the thickets and the briars and he cuts through them. And he keeps going because he has passion. And he got desire. And that's readable. That is absolutely readable. You don't have to tell me when I walk into somebody's house and there's golf clubs, golf this, golf that, golf bags, golf cart. You don't have to tell me that the guy likes golfing. I can read that, and when I go to talking about him, if he's talking about golfing and how far he hits the ball, he does all that, then I'm going to know he loves to golf. It's an easy thing to do. We can read the body language. Do you know that the Lord said, it's pretty readable, he said for a woman not to adorn themselves with gold and silver and what is it, costly apparel, clothing, and to make up their hair and shine and do all that. But the contrast was is that he said that they, but instead of that, to adorn themselves with a meek and quiet spirit. That's in the price of God. Right? But it said of a woman doing what? Professing godliness. What did she say? Nothing. She didn't say anything. But she's professing. She's professing what's important to her in her life when she does it. That's what I'm talking about. You can be forced to do that, but you can't make it real. But there's a passion that goes along with this that really makes a difference in what we do. Lord, help our passion. I don't believe that making a bunch of rules and you can force people into things. But it ain't a good way. It makes hypocrites and it makes false places. It makes confusion. You know, if we could stir our passion for the Lord.
That's right.
There ain't nothing like it. Preacher don't have to say, you guys need to be there Sunday. Just open the doors and let them run in. Right, brother? I've only got a deuce. Open it up. They're ready to go. Lord, help us. Another scripture is in 2 Kings. 2 Kings 13. I want to say this for a second. I remember years ago, when I first come to the Lord, my passion run high. Had to have it. Hot. I got something every time I went to service. I felt like I couldn't hardly not go. I felt like I had to get there. But years will wear on you.
Yes.
Time will wear on you. Things change. Life can change and things can be hard. And I went to service one Sunday and sitting in the same spot that I had sat for years. And I didn't want to be there. That's the truth. I did not want to be there. And when I was sitting there not wanting to be there, I said, Lord, help me. I don't want to be here. And there's something wrong with that. So I ended up saying to the congregation, I need help. I need you all to pray for me. Because my fire has burned way down. I realized it right there. What am I thinking that way for? This is miserable. I'm somewhere I don't want to be. I'm going to sit here and endure this. Well, Lord, help us. Scripture here in 2 Kings 13 says, now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took him a bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon the bow. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hand. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. And Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance of from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed them. Okay, I want to make a point here. That was not without, what do they say? It was not without a exception. That was the prophet. He shot the arrow and he made the prophecy. Here it is. Here's the truth. You've got it. Almost. Yes. It's the way it seems. Yes. And he said, consume them. All right, we got that done. And he said, now that was God's part. He said, take arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou should have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then thou hast smitten Syria until thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. Now, I want us to consider this a little bit, and there's no way that I fully get all the meanings out of this, but I want you to think about this. If it was only important that he hit the ground 5 or 6 times, the prophet would have said, now you strike the ground 5 or 6 times. That wasn't what was important. He said, we're going to check this man's passion. We're going to check what he wants. And he said, so hit, strike the ground. He didn't tell him to hit it once, twice, 100 times. But obviously, he... come on! Come on! Put something into it! This is God you're dealing with. This is important stuff. What do you care? Do you care? Is there not a care? What are you putting into it? Do you not care? I can say this as a preacher, easy. You know, I'm not trying to shirk any responsibilities or not. But just be know this, that if the preacher's dry, there may be more responsibility than just him. Brother Ivan said something that was absolutely true. We know it in our ministries, and I've seen it more than one time, but he spoke of a time in Wisconsin where we both just said, boy, this ain't hard to preach up here. Those people come wanting the Lord. They were seeking the Lord. They was crying for the Lord. They was doing that. And when the preaching come to preach, it wasn't hard to preach. Seemed like everything come out, just poured out. Because there was a hunger there, and God was blessing them and helping them. He might have done it in spite of us. I don't know. But the Lord was blessing them because there was a there. I'm going to tell you, when alive it up, it ain't just a preacher that needs to be live. It can be awful hard on a lively preacher to preach to a dead congregation. I'll take my responsibility. But there's more than that. Do I care enough to say? Do I have a passion enough to say, I have a vision? My vision isn't that one person prays all the time in the congregation or that one person does anything, all that. My vision of the time is to where anybody could do it or everybody could do it or anybody. And there's a liveliness to it that everybody's got a little life to them. We try our best. Nobody can do it all the time perfectly. We try our best always to be early to service. If nothing more to me, it's an honor to God to say, I mean, what I'm doing, I want to get there.
I don't want to be late to it. There's something about it. It's important. I want to say that it's important. It doesn't sound like it's very important if you can't get there. I worked jobs that the boss absolutely would not tolerate somebody being late. You're there on time and you clock in, or you're in trouble. And so everybody could do it. But that ain't the way this works. There isn't to be somebody there with a stopwatch or a time to clock in. There's got to be passion.
Yes.
It's got to be desire. The king then answered their own thing about his own prophecy. This is what I get. We'll win 3 battles. And then we'll have to be plagued with Syria. We could have consumed them.
Yes.
We just didn't have enough passion, drive, and desire to do it. Just didn't have enough. I want to say as an aside, there's got to be more than passion. Passion can be erred. There's got to be more passion. You have to be right too. There was a story of a guy. He was back in the days of the great galleys of the beautiful sailing ships. You know what I'm saying with that? I forget which one of the wars broke out. It was probably one of the English, Spanish war, something like that. Maybe America was involved. I don't know. But there was a captain of one of the, I guess he was a rather wealthy man. But he gets him one of these ships, and he was captain, and so he was going to enter in on one side or another this war. And so he gets this ship, and it was just a regular ship, so he started putting cannons in it. He was going to put the guns in it. And so they didn't know a whole lot, but they started cutting holes in the ship and putting cannons in. I think they put a whole line of cannons, 6 or 8 cannons on each side type thing, and they didn't care too much about the structural integrity of the ship when they did it. So they cut out some beams, cut out some stuff, but he was passionate. He was entering the war, and so they got in, and they sailed, and they finally get into the first engagement and didn't know a lot about it, but he was passionate, had a lot of passion. And he got in there, and he got his ship lined up, and he hollered fire, and they had all the cannons on one side lit up, and didn't have, out of balance. And anyway, the cannons, if he would have known, he would have went boom. Then you had a line of firing. Well, they fired them all up and fired them all at the same time. All the cannons on one side of the ship went off, and it was the last fire they ever made. He had a lot of passion, but he didn't know anything. And my point of it is that it takes a little bit more. I'm impressed with passion, but you have to be right too. And passionate for what? Passionate for what? I'll be honest with you. I've had my passions with deer hunting and doing things and that kind of stuff. It's almost impossible. I can't have enough passion to go sit in a tree stand for the rest. Oh, I can go for a few minutes or an hour. I can't. No, I'm not going to get up before daylight and be there. I don't have the passion anymore because it don't provide me with anything. It doesn't do anything for me. I don't have the passion anymore. This guy had the passion, but he didn't have the knowledge. And sometimes in zeal and those kind of things, we can run amok, and it makes a mockery, and we don't want that. We want passion for something that's real and right, and it shows what the real and right is, and it brings a quality to all of our lives. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody that has a passion for song is also going to be very careful with the wisdom of the song. You can have a passion and sing all the wrong songs. Well, that don't do you no good. Or I can be passionate about prayer, so I come in here and where it should be a simple prayer, and then you go on with service, you just keep praying. No, that's not wisdom. There's not wisdom. There's closet prayers. Go to your closet to do it. It's not public. There's a passion to the cause. You remember when David had the passion of a little, and he went up there. You remember what he said when they started ridiculing him about when he was saying, who's going to do something about this giant? And he said that, and they, we know the naughtiness of your heart. And his answer to them, is there not a cause? It's bigger than us. This is the cause of God. He had passion. You know what took him down there to the giant was passion. He had heard the stories, and he believed in God, and God had worked with him. He had passion towards the things of God. He wanted to see the kingdom of God grow and go on, and he wanted to see God glorified, and he was willing to step out to do it. I'm impressed with that guy. I'm impressed with that. I'm impressed with some young lads that was willing to go to the furnace because they had passion enough to show the glory of God. That's impressive. They were young. That, I mean, it could have destroyed them. And they, but their passion raised up. And they showed it. And the witness. See, when we witness, it's one thing to witness our passion. But if the witness isn't tempered with wisdom, we witness something that the world laughs at. And the world is what it needs laughed at. They're all wrong. They got it all wrong. And this is supposed to be helpful, and this is supposed to be helpful, and this does this and does that. There's a sports world out there that people are so passionate about. And every year it runs the same course. At the end, somebody bawls. Somebody cries. Somebody's team lost. At the end, after all the passion and the drive and all that, they sit and weep. With their hands in their face, they weep, because the more passion and the more hope deferred maketh the heart sick. And the more that hope of something wasn't materialized, then they crash on those kind of things. I ain't talking about something to let you down. God's able to keep us in every place. So we witness our witness. There was a story, Jesus told it. He said there was a man that went down to Jericho. Remember? And he fell among thieves. And he's wounded and stripped. And they took his stuff, and sounds like he'd probably die laying there. And along come the religious world. Right? Along comes the priest. Where was his passion? I say on that one, compassion. But where was his? Where was the proper? Where, he was going to witness. He witnessed. You say God is what? Oh, priest, your God is what? And by he goes. The scripture actually gives the idea of the mind that he went to He went to the other side of the room. What's the importance of that? It's body language, folks. Everybody that reads body language knows that he had distanced himself and his responsibility. That's what we know. The further he is away from that, the less responsible he is to it. And he went as far away to stay on the road as he could get to keep from feeling responsible. And so along comes a Levite who was minister of the temples, right? He was a man of God. He was the guy that was supposed to care. But when he saw the responsibility that was put in front of who? Me? I saw the guy. Who? You. You're the man there. What's your witness? No passion. Oh, for the Lord. For the Lord. See, he went on and he put himself to the other side of the road. I'm not responsible. But who is thy neighbor? I can ask this. Who is thy neighbor by body language? By body language. Did this Samaritan ever say to that man, I love you, my neighbor? It wasn't recorded. Jesus uses this of body language. He said the man performed. And not only was that, but they was known to be enemies. There was prejudices between the two sides. And yet the man came down there and saw somebody there in his way, and he sees the responsibility. This is before me. No doubt this was a man that cared about the Lord. There's something. God put this in my path. No amount of me getting to the side of the road will dissolve me of the responsibility that was fell before me right there. Witness of the Lord. I think maybe Brother Ed mentioned it. Where don't we witness for the Lord? When aren't we a witness for the Lord? Do I exempt myself at the post office? Or at the grocery store? No. And body language says something about who you are. And this man
was outstanding. I asked this of the Samaritan. I'm going to tell you what he did. He stopped when the thieves could have still been there. He risked, we don't know, but he still risked the possibility. He took his precious time. Don't know if he's in a hurry or not. Doesn't matter. He took his time. He ministered to a man that there was no reason to think he'd ever met. He ministered to the man. He put him on his own beast, which meant he didn't ride it, Brother Ivan. And then he took him to the inn and paid for it. And then told the guy that was there, if you use more than this, charge it to me. And when I come back through, I'll pay it. Now, let me ask you a question. It seems pretty obvious to me. Do you think that Samaritan cared about that man? Would you say that he cared about the people around him? Yes, because he already said he did. I know Lily likes books, no doubt about it. This man, I would like to be his neighbor too. But more than that, maybe I'm supposed to be that neighbor. I am not trying to drum us up to exciting. You know it. I'm not trying to drum us up to demonstrative activities. I don't think it shows a thing. But how much we love the Lord and how much passion we have towards Him will show. And I'm not saying that you have, that it's required or that it's a part of living for the Lord to run yourself completely in the ground, awake every moment in a state of some kind of spirit. It's not. We're human and we run with human energies and human efforts. But what makes it all worthwhile is to have passion. It'll take it a long ways when that is what I want to do. It's no longer hard. There's a statement that says about a person that loves their job, they never work a day in their life. You know, I know what that's talking about. That is true. It may be called work. But when it is so enjoyable and it's so much what I want to do, I don't call it work. And it also says that I can joyfully get up and go and tend it. I can joyfully go and do the things that it is because I have the passion to be able to do it. I don't suppose that there's any kind of a magic or any kind of potions or any kind of thing that I can say where there's a one-time shot and you'll have it. I'm just saying, the Lord help our passion. Allow the right winds to blow. Give us the passion that we should have in this day and time to show the world they really mean that. I'll tell you this of my dear old grandmother. She was one of the saints, and she stood alone most all of the life that I knew that she lived. She stood by herself. But I'll tell you, my grandmother's body language and her passion showed what she believed. It wasn't hard to say, Grandma, you may not. I didn't know enough to understand her, and I didn't believe what she believed, but I always could say this about my grandmother. There ain't nobody that lives what they believe better than my grandmother does. My grandmother is passionate about what she believes. And she lived that way, and to me, that was a very impressive witness for the Lord. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.